the entirety of chapter 23 of St. Matthew's Gospel is an extended diatribe by the Lord Jesus against the scribes and Pharisees. In language that can only be described as harsh and divisive, the Prince of Peace over and over again excoriates them. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees! The harshness is because his people are in danger. And the language is divisive because the sheep must be separated from the goats when salvation is the thing at stake. This chapter opens with these words. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them." In light of these words of the Lord Jesus, some people, including not a few Christians, ask, did not Jesus himself do this? Tie up a heavy burden and lay it on our backs? When he insisted that marriage is indissoluble. After all, not even Moses, the lawgiver, required this. The Pharisees approached Jesus and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" And notice, they were not seeking instruction. They did not want to understand more deeply the mysteries of human nature, still less of the kingdom of God. Mark tells us they were testing him. Over and over, this happened in his conflicts with the Pharisees. They attempted to trip him up by getting him to contradict Moses. He replies with a question, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." Notice it's one way. Wives had no rights in this regard. And then the Lord Jesus does not contradict Moses, but he explains why on this point even the lawgiver went astray. "Because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning it was not so." And then the Lord Jesus repeats the beautiful passage we heard this morning in the first lesson from the book of Genesis. God made them male and female. "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." And here, we must take note of this fact. The biological impulse to mate is universal. Everywhere there are people, this impulse exists, along with the impulse to sleep and to eat. And in many cultures, mating, or marriage, has taken forms other than the one described here by the Savior. One man, for example, might have many wives, or even one woman have several husbands, or marriage be understood as something temporary to be entered into over and over again. And now, in our midst, we have the utter novelty of men marrying men or women marrying women. Notice then how the Lord Jesus explains the nature of marriage. It's woven into the fabric of our being by the design of the Creator. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. The complementarity of man and woman is the basis for this unique form of human friendship. And as Genesis explains, it's not simply Adam's biological need to have children. It's his personal yearning for a companion. In other words, marriage is sexual friendship, but it's much more than that. It is something higher and deeper at the same time. It is the communion of persons, meaning men and women are not simply rutting animals. And marriage, while it includes the sexual love of spouses, transcends it. And the union of husband and wife, the church will later understand, is so deep a mystery that it points to the very union of God and his people and of Christ and his bride, the church. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no man must separate. Then Mark tells us that despite this clear explanation, once they get inside, the disciples keep questioning him. They can't really believe he has said this. And then he doesn't just reiterate Genesis, he doubles down. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Friends, we must acknowledge this is a hard saying. And precisely because it is a hard saying, so many have concluded that Jesus did hear what he accuses the Pharisees of doing in other ways, tying up a heavy burden, laying it on our backs, and then doing nothing to help us carry it. In fact, some of the people who believe that are cardinals and bishops of the Holy Catholic Church, and a few of them will be in the Synod in Rome that begins today, the first public meetings tomorrow. They are urging the Church to change the sacramental discipline, which is a consequence of this doctrine. I have absolute confidence that will not happen. But explaining to those who in good faith and with goodwill keep asking the question over and over, is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife after all Moses permitted it? We must provide an answer. Is not the Lord Jesus binding up a heavy burden too great for us to carry and then doing nothing to help us carry? The answer to that question, I think, comes from another passage found in Matthew, in chapter 11. The comfortable words that can sustain us in trials of many kinds. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. The yoke of Jesus Christ is the cross, and his burden is the gospel. He teaches us clearly that there is no possibility of following him unless we are prepared to carry the cross ourselves. But he does not ask us to do it alone. He bears it with us and for us. And the cross of Christ falls upon human life in a great many ways, not least, perhaps, this hard teaching on the nature of marriage. But it is not a burden he asks us to carry alone. The burden of his gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, reveals to us that the power of the Spirit makes us a new creation, and by grace through faith in the Son of God, we are equipped by hope and love to follow him, even at great cost. And each of the sacraments of the new covenant, of which marriage is one, in some way equips us to do this. Now, it is true that over the centuries, the church has understood that in not a few cases, men and women who enter into marriage in good faith, with the best of intentions, discover years later, after their marriage has been broken by a civil divorce, that in fact the bond they believed they made on the day of their wedding never formed. This is discovered through a judicial process in the church, which bishops exercise through their courts or tribunals. It is mistakenly called an annulment. The church does not annul anything. The church simply acknowledges that after investigation, we now know with moral certitude that what was thought to have been the bond of marriage, in fact, never formed. And the only thing that was made that day was the legal contract, which was dissolved by a civil court. And therefore, both parties to that null and void union are now free to marry as though for the first time. To many, this sounds like Jesuitical nonsense, priestly mumbo jumbo. For my sins, I am a canon lawyer, and I have spent many years involved in the adjudication of tribunal work. I can tell you, it is not mumbo jumbo. It's a serious effort by the church to do two things at once, to bear constant witness to the irreformable teaching of the Lord Jesus on the indissolubility of marriage, and at the same time, acknowledge the frailty of men and women and the ways in which we cannot do the things we wish we could. Leaving aside the complexities of the church's tribunal process and what a declaration of nullity of marriage really is and is not, the central question for us is this: has Christ asked us to do something that is impossible? The answer must be a resounding no. Is it difficult? Of course it is. Is it possible for us, unassisted by grace? No. But serious Christian men and women who understand the dignity and demands of their baptism, who understand marriage as the sacrament of the new and everlasting covenant, who understand the life of grace as a participation even now in the blessedness of heaven, know what sacrificial living feels like. And marriage, of course, entails sacrificial living. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. I know that many Christians, many priests, wish that Jesus had never said these words. I have joked myself, would that he had given his church only 6 sacraments, because it is often so difficult to assist people who have been wounded by a broken marriage to continue to follow the way of the cross without despair. Pope Francis has said correctly that we must welcome the wounded. We must accompany them, love them, and help heal them. But none of these things are possible if we pretend the Savior did not say these words. Our responsibility is to seek to understand ever more deeply the profound truth contained in this teaching. He is, after all, the eternal Word by whom we were made. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And in insisting that this is the design of the Creator from the beginning, that this is woven into the fabric of our being, he is surely telling us something true, essential to our flourishing, crucial literally crucial, that is, of the cross, to our being his disciples. In the days ahead, through the 25th of October, the Synod of Bishops will be working with Pope Francis to try to find ways that are compassionate, attractive, coherent, comprehensible, so that the Church can bear witness to this truth and to the infinite mercy of God to a modern world that no longer knows what marriage is. Our contribution to that project will be this. We do know what marriage is because Christ the Lord has revealed it to us. And however difficult it may be to live in fidelity to this truth, it is the truth that sets us free from our own selfishness, from error of every kind, and from deadly sin. Did the Lord Jesus bind us up and lay us with a burden that we can't carry? No. So to all who are burdened, to all who are weary, to all who have stumbled, to all who find this word of the Lord a hard saying, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.